You're listening to Nick Healy on ABC Western Plains and Central West.
So it's a tale of two marshlands. It's our own Macquarie Marshes. And then over on the border between England and Wales, it's the peat bogs that are in the area. It's also a tale of two artists, Dubbo's Kim Goldsmith and England's Andrew Howe. They are both making artworks about their respective areas. Two very different wetlands, two very different artists coming together for something called Mosses and Marshes. I actually spoke to Kim Goldsmith earlier to see how it all happened.
Andrew Howe and I were introduced to each other through an international collaborative program called Arts Territory Exchange. It pairs up artists from across the world to look at how they might work together. And it's a difficult process. Not every pairing works. You've got to find something in common and you've got to find an idea in common. And not everybody's practices are sort of suited to working collaboratively either. But Andrew Howe is an engineer and an environmental consultant, as well as being an incredibly gifted artist. And so we hit it off from day one. And we've done a couple of small projects together, but we knew that we wanted to do something bigger. And we've been working on the Mosses and Marshes project since about the middle of 2019.
Two very different wetlands, two internationally renowned wetlands. What's the aim of the artworks?
We really want to try and find what the commonalities are, because on the surface of it and geographically, there is no doubt that the raised peat bogs on the England-Wales border and the Macquarie Marshes couldn't be more different. When you start to dig a bit deeper and go below the surface of those wetlands, you start to get this feeling that we all cherish them in our own way, and that basically everyone's slightly fearful for the future of these wetlands. And while there's often a lot of politics around them because they involve water and often conflicting land uses, I think when you sort of push all of that aside, there's an opportunity to find that common ground and work towards a common future. And I think that's what we're both really hoping might come from this project.
Look, I know your work has often revolved around those kind of environmental factors, a look at natural resources. I know you've been heading out to the Macquarie Marshes, I think, quite a lot over the past 12 months. What have you been doing when you're out there?
Raise a few eyebrows, is what I do. when you see this woman loaded up with microphones, and I'm talking like boom poles with big furry wombats on and recorders and drones and underwater cameras and all of that sort of thing, squatting down beside the road, standing stock still for anywhere up to 10 minutes at a time while I try to record the internal rumblings of a tree. I think what I'm trying to do is find the hidden marsh. I'm trying to find the Macquarie Marshes that even those who know the wetlands extremely well or the floodplains have not experienced before. So I have been recording things like the internal rumblings of the coolabah trees on the floodplains and the photosynthesizing water weeds underwater in the marshes now that there is water. And I've even stuck my microphones in the mud at the base of plants growing on the edge of the water and hearing the sounds in their roots as they're sort of taking up water through the mud. So that's what I've kind of been doing with the sound, and then using the cameras to create a few visuals around that as well. So lots of underwater stuff. And I've captured things like the release of gas bubbles from the roots of the reed beds underwater. And things like that, you know, lots of frog song, obviously lots of bird song, but also using my drone to do low-level flying across the floodplain so that you're actually seeing the landscape in incredible detail.
Those audioscapes, they're just so evocative. We don't hear enough of them.
No, and I think it's because largely you can't hear them just with the naked human ear. And it's partly why I love working technology so much, because it actually reveals more about our environment than we're capable of hearing on our own.
Kim, does Andrew do similar work?
He does use digital technology in terms of how he records what he's doing out in the environment, but he describes himself as a walking artist. I have to say, until I actually met Andrew a few years ago, I wasn't aware that there's this whole movement called walking art. And it's basically getting out in the landscape and walking as part of your process. And so he will always call himself a walking artist before he calls himself anything else, because that is the number one part of his process. But while he's walking, he's observing, as I do. And I think in order to really record the landscape in an interesting way, you do have to use your observation. And then he'll often take those recordings and observations back to the studio, and he'll do everything from papermaking, printmaking, the most beautiful paintings and drawings. So he's very talented in that regard. I've kind of given up that side of my practice about 12 years ago, and so I'm not even going to venture there. But I think, you know, between what I can do with sound and even with the video production work I do, I think our practices do blend quite well.
Kim, two different artwork styles, two different wetlands. You are coming together for the mosses and marshes. You are looking for some crowdfunding at the moment to help get it in front of as many people as possible.
Absolutely. We're looking to show the work from our efforts in the mosses and marshes in Australia and the UK from about the middle of next year in 2022. But we also, one of the really important things we want to do is take those works back to the communities where they were created. So in my case, I'm looking to show the works back to Coonamble and Warren, and Andrew's been talking to the community art galleries around where he lives to look at how he can get it back to the mosses. And then we're also looking to take it further afield. So I'm going to Canberra next month to have a look at a gallery down there. And I guess this is the thing, crowdfunding is a really tricky part of funding art projects. Not a lot of artists do it, and not a lot of artists do it successfully, because it's actually really, really hard to ask people for money or to ask people for help. But Andrew and I have invested very heavily in these projects ourselves. We really don't have many other funding sources. I've received a small grant through the Regional Arts Fund that Regional Arts New South Wales administer. And that helped cover some of the storytelling that I've been doing. So I've been recording audio stories of people with an attachment or a connection to the marshes. And it covered some of the travel and time that I've put into that. But pretty much a small drop in the bucket compared to what we need to actually stage the exhibitions.
Well, Kim, we are hoping you'll get that $5,000 you're looking for. We'll check in and see how the crowdfunding's going at a later date. But thanks for the chat this morning.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Kim Goldsmith. And to kick in for that crowdfunding, the website is australianculturalfunding.com. Look for mosses and marshes. And if you want a taste of what Kim's been producing, have a listen. Now, that was some frog song at the start. You could hear a threatened Australasian bittern in the background there. In the middle, the waterwort. That snap, crackle and pop was the waterwort photosynthesizing underwater in the afternoon sun. And that last bit, the rumble and vibrations of an ancient coolabah tree branch in the early morning wind.